with you here in Mission Springs. I'm glad to be here. This is my first trip to this part of California, first trip to Mission Springs. But I'm not a total stranger. I know a number of people here in this congregation. I met them through our television broadcast on KFTL, and I've heard from some of you, and mailed tapes to some of you, and books and other things, and written personal letters to you, and I'm certainly glad to see many of you in person. Now, I'm grateful for the lovely accommodations. This is one of the prettiest places I've seen. My room is so comfortable, and I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to this week. Beautiful surroundings. I do want to tell you one thing. If you say something to me and I don't answer you, it's because I don't hear you. I've got a bad hearing problem. I've been speaking in conferences since 1954, all over the country and other places too, but that's coming to an end before very long because my hearing is gradually deteriorating to the point that it's very difficult to hear when someone's talking right to me. When I began to counsel some engagements to go to other conferences, one man asked me why, and I said, because I can't hear when people speak to me. He said, well, we can hear you. And he said, that's what you're up there for. Doesn't matter whether you hear us. It's important that we hear you. But it is, so you'll forgive me when I'm in the dining hall or out in the outside of the building and other places. I wear hearing aids, and they're very helpful. If I didn't wear them, I wouldn't hear anything. And you remember that when you talk to me. And if I say, several times, I'm not retarded. I can't hear. You know, that's one affliction that people have a difficulty with. They understand blind people. They understand people who are crippled, but they get a little agitated with people who are hard of hearing. And just, I had one lady, a member of our church a number of years ago, and she'd see these hearing aids and she'd get right up and scream in them, you know. I'd keep backing off, she'd keep coming forward. But I've looked forward to meeting Mr. Camping. I've seen him on television. Someone sent me tapes of his broadcast over KFTL. I also was dialing the television one night, channel surfing. Is that what y'all call it, going from one to the other, you know? Couldn't find anything decent to watch, and picked up CNN, and saw this man look familiar, and I came back to it, and I said to my wife, that's Mr. Camping on Larry King Live. So we sat there and watched that. You remember the show, didn't you? You see, it was very interesting, and I enjoyed watching that. I pray the Lord will give me a word for you. Preaching to me is serious business. Mr. Spurgeon said one time, he's preaching on the burden of the Word of God. From Habakkuk, the burden of the Word of God. And he said, if the Word of God is not a burden to us now, it will be someday. I want it to lay heavily on my heart now. Serious business. I do pray that God will give me a word for you these nights together. I'll be speaking each night, the Lord willing. And I ask him to bless me that I might bless you. And I ask him to speak to my heart that I might speak to your hearts. You see, if If my voice is the only voice you hear, nothing of any value will be accomplished. We've got to hear him who speaks from heaven through his servant. God sends his man. God sends his preacher. God gives him his message. Not my message, it's his. And you hear me, but I hope you don't hear only me. I hope you hear him. Someone years ago wrote this. He said, we've listened to the preacher, and truth by him has been shown, but we need a greater teacher from the everlasting throne, because revelation is the work of God alone. Revelation is the work of God alone. And you know, when those men of Samaria said to the woman of Samaria, after she had met the Lord Jesus and came down into Samaria, and she said, I've met a man who told me everything that I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? And they came out to hear him. And then they said to her, we believe, not because of what you said, but we've heard him ourselves. We believe what you said. But we believe now, not only because of what you said, but I've heard him myself. I've heard him. So let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians. Everybody's weary from traveling, and we've come together here for a little while this evening, and I debated and struggled and prayed and sought God's leadership for a message. And I'm going to an old familiar scripture, one that you know well and love well and has been a blessing to you, I'm sure, on many occasions. Ephesians chapter 1. And tonight, we're just going to exhort a little and rejoice a little and talk about our spiritual blessings. Our spiritual blessings. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, writing to the church at Ephesus, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm not an apostle. Paul was an apostle. An apostle was one who had to have seen the Lord and received his gospel directly from the Lord. And Paul saw the Lord as one born out of due time. And he said, when the Lord was pleased, the Lord who separated me from my mother's womb, when he was pleased to reveal his son in me, immediately, I conferred not with those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. And the gospel which I preach was not taught me by man, but Christ himself. I saw the Lord, and the Lord taught me the gospel, and I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, by the will of God. And then he says, I'm writing to the saints. This is to believers. This is to you and to me. I'm writing to the saints, and every believer is a saint. You hear people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm no saint. I know what they mean by that. They're saying, well, I'm not perfect, you know. But believe me, if you're a Christian, you are a saint. You're sanctified in Christ Jesus, sanctified by God the Father, sanctified in Christ Jesus, and sanctified by the Spirit of God, sanctified by the blood of Christ, and sanctified by the Word of God. I am a saint. If I'm saved, I'm a saint. And he's writing to the saints, to believers. This is to believers. About all the Word of God, about all that's in the Word of God for a rebel, for an unbeliever's judgment. The promises of God to believers. Paul says, I'm writing to believers. I'm writing to the saints and to the faithful. And saints are faithful. I hear people say, well, Christians ought to love God. They do. Somebody said, well, a Christian ought to give. Well, a Christian ought to worship God. He will. He's writing to the saints who are faithful. And they are faithful. God's people are faithful. Believers are faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, grace to you, and peace from God our Father. Which comes first? And I tell you this, there can be no peace where there's no grace. Grace is always first. Grace to you. Grace to you. We're saved by the grace of God through faith, and because we're saved by his grace through faith, we have peace with God. Christ has reconciled the Father, taken away the wrath, taken away the enmity. Now Paul says, you be reconciled to God. You lay down your shotgun. You put up your sword. Be reconciled to God. God is reconciled. God is at peace. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. And because of his grace and mercy to us, we have peace with one another. That's right. Peace with God. He made peace through the blood of his cross and reconciled us to God. And God's not angry anymore. The wrath has been removed. The enmity has been removed. God's angry with the wicked every day, but not with believers, because in Christ we're reconciled. You see that? Grace unto you. And it's by his grace, by his mercy. And therefore, being justified by grace through faith, we have peace. Peace with God. Peace that passeth understanding. Lie down on your bed at night and close your eyes and sleep like a baby, because Christ has made peace with God. Oh, I tell you, what a blessing. Peace with God. And from our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is our peace. I hear people say, well, have you made your peace with God? I'd like to know how you're going to do it. Tell me how you're going to make peace with God. You're going to put your own sins away? You're going to clothe yourself with your own righteousness? No, Christ is our peace. Christ is our peace. He's the one that made peace with God. The wrath of God in our stead, in our place, fell on him. By his stripes we're healed. We have peace because Christ bore our sin in his body on the tree. Oh, my. And then in verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in these first 14 verses, you're going to see three things. You're going to see the work of the Father in redemption. You're going to see the work of the Son in redemption. And you're going to see the work of the Holy Spirit. And he starts here with the Father in verse 3. And he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason he's our Father, because he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said to those Pharisees, they said, we have one God. We have one Father, God. He said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. If God were your Father, you'd love me. He's our Father because he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus said, I go to my Father and your Father because you're in me. That's the only reason God is my Father, because I'm in Christ. The Father loveth the Son, and he loves me and the Son. The Father's grace and mercy, he's given all things into the hands of his Son. And because I'm in the Son, I have all things. He's my Father. He is. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Paul begins right where he is, and he says he's blessed us. Oh, he's blessed us. The Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I have in Christ, by the grace of the Heavenly Father, everything I need to stand in his presence. That's right. He hath made us meet. He hath made us sufficient. If he were to call us right this minute to walk into his presence, lacking nothing. That's right. God's blessed me with all spiritual blessings. I don't need two cars. I don't need a fine home. I don't need a better job. I don't need nicer clothes. I need Christ. That's what I need. Spiritual blessing, justification, redemption, sanctification, righteousness,
holiness, acceptance with God. That's what I need, and that's what He's given me in Christ Jesus. Bless me with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Everything we need is in Christ. Old John Flavel has a book out called Method of Grace. I think it's one of the best books that I have in my library, The Method of Grace. And in that book, he has a sermon with 5 points. And these are the 5 points. He says, everything that the Heavenly Father has for a sinner, everything, everything that the Heavenly Father has for a sinner is vested in Jesus Christ. It's all in Christ. And those spiritual blessings are ours by a union with Christ. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Paul said, God revealed His Son in me. Christ. Somebody asked me one time, is Jesus Christ the most important thing in your life? I said, no, sir. He was shocked. He said, He's not. I said, no, sir. He is my life. He's not a thing. He's not first. He's my whole life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ who is our life. When He shall appear, we're going to appear with Him. I'm in Him. He's the head. We're the body. Where the head is, the body's not too far behind, is it? God's given everything to Christ. And we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're married to Him. He's the head, we're the body. He's the vine, we're the branches. And everything that the Father has given to Christ is ours because we're one in Him and with Him. That's what Flavel is saying. And that union, thirdly, comes by faith. It comes by faith. He that believeth on the Son hath life. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may keep believing on the Son of God. Because he that hath the Son hath life. Faith. Fourthly, he said, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You see, this is the seed. The sower went forth to sow. The sower is the Son of Man. The seed is the Word of God. And of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Not apart from the gospel, not without the gospel, but through the gospel. We're born again, begotten, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. He that heareth my word. Everything God has for sinners in Christ. It's ours by union with Him. And that union comes by faith. And that faith comes by doing just what you're doing right now. Hearing the Word of God. I see. A man came to our church several years ago. I knew him quite well even back then. In fact, later on, my son, who's pastor in Virginia, married his daughter. But he came to hear me preach, and I'd shake hands at the door, and he'd be going out, and I'd say, well, Ed, come back again. He said, I might be back. I said, well, always glad to have you. Come back when you can. He kept doing that. He kept coming. He'd miss a few times, then he'd come back, miss a few times, come back. Finally, one Sunday, I preached the gospel. The Spirit of God was pleased to give me to preach the gospel. God was there. God spoke. And I was standing back by the door, and he came out. His countenance was different. His attitude was different. I shook hands with him. I said, Ed, come back. He said, I'll be here tonight. I'll be here Wednesday. I'll be here next Sunday. I see what you're saying. I see it. He that seeth the Son and believeth on it. God's pleased to reveal His He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? in the face of Christ Jesus, preaching of the Word of God. But Flavel said all of that will amount to nothing unless the Holy Spirit makes it effectual. I can't save a sinner, and there's not a sinner who can save himself, but God can. God can. Oh, bless God. Bless God who has blessed us. Who's blessed us with all I need. Jesus Christ has made to me all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, holiness, redemption. All I need. In spiritual places, heavenly places, at the right hand of God, where my forerunners already entered in, within the veil. That's where I am, seated at the right hand of God. Now watch it. Oh, Paul says, bless God, and then he takes a step back. Oh, I rejoice in this, don't you? Why'd he bless me? Why me? David went and wept before the Lord and cried, who am I? Who am I? And what is my house? You should show such mercy. Well, I'll tell you why he blessed us according as he chose us in Christ. That's why he blessed us. It pleased God to make you his people. It pleased God to make you his people. Our Lord said to the disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. 'Tis not that I did choose thee. Lord, that could not be. This heart of mine would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. There's a preacher out in Texas named Dr. Gambrill. He'd been dead a long time. But he was out working in his roses one day, and his neighbor next door came over, and she's standing there watching Dr. Gambrill work with his roses. And she said, Dr. Gambrill, she said, you're a Baptist, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. She said, do you Baptists believe in election? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, what is it? He said, what is what? She said, what is election? He said, well, he said, are you saved? Well, she said, yes. Yes, I'm saved. He said, who saved you? She said, God did. He said, did he do it on purpose or was it an accident? Oh, she said, he did it on purpose. He said, honey, that's election. Everything God does, he does on purpose. God's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Why? Because he chose to. I chose him, yes, because he chose me. I love him, why? Because he loved me first. I sought him because he sought me. I called on him because he called me. And he chose us, listen, not because we were holy. It says that we should be holy. That's right. He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him. Yes, turn with me to the book of Colossians. Let me show you something over here in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. Listen, and you, that were one time, alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, were you? Yes, we were wicked, enemies of God. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Where is our holiness? In ourselves? No, in Christ. In Christ. The Apostle Paul said he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. The things I would do, I do them not. The things I would not do, I do them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. I have been delivered. And with his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as God's Son. That's right. God's blessed us with all spiritual blessings because he chose to.
to. And he chose to make us holy. And listen to the next line. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I don't know whether any of you know Pastor R.T. Kendall. He pastors Westminster Chapel in London, England. He followed Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones there as pastor. Brother Kendall was a member of our church when he was a young boy, 19, 20, 21 years of age. We ordained him to the gospel ministry. And he and I were playing golf up in Cerrito, West Virginia, sometime back in the late 50s or early 60s. And it was kind of a country golf course up in West Virginia. And we went across the street. We'd played several holes. It's hot summertime. We went across the street to get a Coca-Cola at a filling station. And I walked into the filling station, and the man who owned the filling station had a Bible there on the desk. As I came through the door, and I walked up and looked at the Bible, I said, "You've got a nice Bible there." He said, "Yeah." He said, "My wife gave me that." He said, "By the way," he said, "you're a Christian?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You believe in predestination?" Well, I've learned not to answer that question without somebody defining it. Define it for me. Define it. I have people listen to me on television. They'll call up and say, "You believe in predestination?" I said, "I don't know. What does it mean?" They say, "Well, it means that God predestinated some to heaven, some to hell." I said, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Not at all." So this man asked me, "Do you believe in predestination?" I said, "Well, is it in the Bible?" He said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, let's look and see." So I turned to the concordance over here, and I knew where it was found, but I didn't want him to know I was a preacher because he quit listening to me right then, you know. And so, and most preachers, I wouldn't blame him. But anyway, I said to him, "Well, the word predestinate or predestinate is in the Bible four times. Four times." And I took him over here to Romans 8, if you want to turn over there with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 20. I said, "Here it is, here twice." It says in verse 29 of Romans 8, "For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate," verse 30, "them he called." That's twice it's there. And I said, here's what it's saying, that everybody whom God saves, he's going to make like Christ. Predestinated them, predetermined, destination decided beforehand, predestinated. When a bus rolls into a bus depot and it has a sign up there, Sacramento, where's it going, Sacramento? Who decided that up in the office? When they decided? Last week. And that's where it's going. It may stop at 14 towns before it gets there, but that's where it's going. It's predestinated. Its destination is predetermined. And I said, this right here says God is going to make everybody he saves like Christ. And then over here in Ephesians, we're looking at it right here. It says here, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Children, what's children? Sons. Sons of God. It takes just as much miracle and power to make a son of Adam a son of God as to make the son of God a son of man. Come on now. Think with me. Jesus Christ became flesh. Is that right? This is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. That took quite a miracle, didn't it? For God to become a man? For the Son of God to become the Son of Man? That took a miracle. I'll tell you this. For a Son of Man like you and me to become a Son of God, that takes just as much power. The same power that raised him from the dead is a power that will raise you from a spiritual grave. Election has to do with people. Predestination has to do with what those people are going to be. They're going to be like Christ. Joseph's going to sit on the throne. Who said so? God did. How's he going to get him there?
He took a lot of turns. He went to the pit. He went to Potiphar's house. Election has to do with people. Predestination has to do with what those people are going to be. They're going to be like Christ. Joseph's going to sit on the throne. Who said so? God did. How's he going to get in there? He took a lot of turns. He went to the pit. He went to Potiphar's house. He went to prison. He went to there and there and finally wound up on the throne. Who put him there? God did. Who predetermined that? God did. And one day, every believer is going to sit at the right hand of God in Christ and be just like Christ, conformed to his image. He shall appear, and we shall see him as he is. And when we see him, we're going to be what? Like him. That's predestination. And God has to do it. I have been saved. I'm being saved, and my salvation nearer than when I believe. I'm not fixed up yet for eternity. Somebody said one time, have patience with me. God ain't through with me yet. I'm going to be like Christ. I'm going to be like Christ. Predestinated me to be like Christ. Listen, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Paul starts where he said, God blessed me. Oh, how he blessed me. Why did he do that? He chose me. He chose to bless me. Why did he do that? Because he's going to have a people in the kingdom of God like Christ. Every one of them is going to be just like his son. They're going to love what he loves, enjoy what he enjoys, rejoice in what he rejoices, and despise what he despises. And every enemy is going to be under his footstool and theirs, under their feet. You'll tread them under your feet. He predetermined it. Why did he do that? Because he willed to, according to the good pleasure of his own will. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I rejoice. And listen to verse 6. And he did it, why? To the praise of his glory. He didn't do it to bestow upon you certain rewards for your service. He's not going to give you trophies. You are the trophy. You are the trophy. He's going to show in us the riches of his grace toward us. In Christ. That's right. Everything he does is to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted. He accepted me. Where? In the beloved. God accepted me in the beloved. You see, what a treasure. What a treasure. God blessed me. He chose to do it. Because he predetermined to have a kingdom and a people like Christ. When Christ shall have delivered up the kingdom unto the Father, when he puts the last enemy under his feet, which is death, then shall God be all and in all. God's predetermined that. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. And he did it according to the good pleasure of his will. Three questions. Simple questions. Did you choose God or did he choose you? He chose you then. When did he choose you? When? Fella told me, he said, when I believed. I said, is that what the Bible says? He said, no, that's what I believe. He chose us. Paul said, bless, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You're going to believe the gospel. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And they, don't you love the shalls of God's word? They shall hear my voice. And they shall be one fold, one shepherd. Why did he choose you? That's the third question. Why me? I had a brother, one brother. Died 48 years of age, heart attack. 30 years in the army. Was up for Brigadier General when he died. A successful man, a brilliant man, a West Point graduate. Knew nothing about God. Had no use for God. heavy drinker, heavy smoker, killed himself drinking. We were born from the same womb. We grew up in the same house. We went to the same church. We sat around the same table. We wore each other's clothes. I wore all his handbills. I never did have a new suit. I wore his clothes. I loved him. But God wasn't pleased to save him. But he saved me. Why? According to the good pleasure of his own will. Our Lord Jesus stopped one day and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed it to babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. That's the only answer I can give you. Why you? Why you? God made the difference, didn't he? A lot of your friends don't know God and don't want to know God. But you do. Oh, I've got to move quickly. Listen to this. Here's the Son, verse 7, in whom we have redemption. He redeemed us by his blood. By his blood. Mr. Camping, I'm sure, has read about old Dr. A.J. Gordon, some of you other men. Brother Otero probably has too. A.J. Gordon pastored the Church of the Open Door up in Boston, didn't he? A long time ago, turn of the century. A.J. Gordon was walking down the street one day. This way back yonder, way back yonder. Some of you remember, some of you can't. It's way back yonder. Anyway, he's walking down the street, and he met one of his Sunday school boys coming toward him. And the little boy had a cage in his hand, an old homemade wire cage, and in that cage were two birds. And Dr. Gordon looked at those two little birds in that cage, and he felt so sorry for them. He pitied them. There they were, just scared to death. And that little boy was swinging that cage, bringing it along down the street, you know. And Dr. Gordon reached out and stopped him. He said, son, where'd you get the birds? He said, I trapped them. He said, son, what are you going to do with the birds? He said, I'm going to play with them. After I get through playing with them, I'm going to feed them to the cat. Dr. Gordon said, son, would you sell them to me? Preacher, you know what these old birds, they ain't canaries, you know. He said, I know what they are. Just old spiegel birds. He said, but I want them. I want, preacher, there are thousands of them out there. I want those birds. Those birds. Will you sell them? But it'll cost you. Well, tell me how much. $2. Cage and all. That's a lot of money back then, Sonny. So the preacher reached in his pocket and got out $2 and shelled it out. And he got his cage, you know, and stood there holding the cage. And the little boy walked on past him. And he, every once in a while he'd turn and shake his head, that fool preacher. And finally he turned the corner and the preacher held up the cage. He unwound the wire around the door and opened the door, held it up to the sky. He said, little old bird, I loved you. I bought you. I'm going to set you free. And he tapped the cage. And one of them spotted that open door, and out he went. The other one spotted it about that time. Out he went. And he said he could see them flying through the blue sky. And it seemed like they were saying, redeemed, redeemed, set free. And he said, I thought, one day walking across the corridors of heaven, the law of God and the justice of God had a cage full of sinners in bondage, in prison, under guilt. Soul that sinneth shall die. And my Lord Jesus looked at him and said, I love them. I'm going to buy them. And justice said, you don't want these old birds. They ain't no good. He said, I know them better than you do. They can't sing. I know that. There's plenty more out there. I want those. My sheep. Sell them to me. Justice said, and the law said, it'll cost you the gold of your blood and the sweat of your body. The sweat of your tears and the gold of your blood. And my Lord went to the cross and paid it in full. He bought me. He bought you. He redeemed us. We're his. And he sets us free. Isn't that beautiful? In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of all our sins according to the riches of his grace. His grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound saved a wretch like me. I was lost, hopelessly, helplessly. Barnard used to say, plumb lost. But he found me. He put me on his shoulders and brought me home. He'll never let me go. Ah, not only that, but I'll hurry. Listen, verse 9. And he made known to us the mystery of his will. He made known to us the mystery. He redeemed us and he enlightened us. Philip said, well, show us the Father. He said, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Have you seen Christ? You've seen the Father. No man's seen God at any time. The Son reveals him. The Son declares him. The glory of God's in Christ. I and my Father are one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He hath manifested to us. He hath made known to us the mystery of God's will, the will of redemption. When Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus and said, God chose you that you might know his will and see the just one. Saul of Tarsus knew the will of commandment. He was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. He knew the Old Testament backward and forward. He knew the will of command. He didn't know the will of redemption. Hebrews 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. That's the will by which we're saved. God's redemptive will in Christ. Christ made known to us the mystery of his will, how God can be just and justify you and me. God can't save us at the expense of his holiness. God can't save any sinner at the expense of his law. God can't save any sinner at the expense of his justice. We must die. Christ died for us. Substitution, transference of guilt. Not only that, but listen. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. He's not only redeemed us, forgave us, enlightened us, he's enriched us. We got an inheritance reserved. Our Lord's coming back. He's going to take us to glory. And he's already reserved the inheritance. Now listen to me just a minute. Old Brother Muse used to say, don't move a hand nor a hair. Now listen. When our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, somebody said, now listen to me, somebody said, well, it took him 6 days to make the world. He's been up there 2,000 years preparing the mansion. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He said, I go to the cross to bear your sin. I go to the grave, your scapegoat. I rise as you're justified. I go to the right hand of God, not the holy place made with hands, but heaven itself, to present an atonement, a redemption for you. That's how I'm preparing for you a place. I'm preparing you for the place and the place for you. That's it. He's enriched us, undefiled, incorruptible, that fadeth not away, and she's reserved. Old Roland Hill, you've heard that name. He had a dream. He said, I dreamed I died and went to heaven. He was a preacher back in England 100 years ago. He said, I dreamed I died and went to heaven. And he said, he got there and I just can't describe, he said, what it's like. But I heard the most beautiful singing, the most beautiful singing I've ever heard him. Praises to God. We're just rolling through that place. And he said, I saw this huge choir. Looked like a number no man could number. And he thought, oh, I'd love to sing with them. Oh, I'd love to sit with them. Oh, I'd love to participate in that song. And he said, I looked and there was an empty seat way up yonder. He said, I thought if I could just get to that seat, I'd sing with them. So he said, I went up all these stairs through all these people. And I came to that seat and my name was on it. Roland Hill, reserved for Roland Hill. And he said, I sat down in it. And I started singing. And I knew every word of the song because I've been singing it down here on this earth. Praises to God. Reserved for you an inheritance. What about the Holy Spirit? I'll let you go with this. And you know verse 12, our Lord redeemed us and forgave us and enlightened us and enriched us. Look at verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, who first trusted in Christ. That's why He did it. We're going to praise Him. Our occupation in glory will be to worship and praise our Lord. Now watch the last verse here. Verse 13, here's the Spirit of God, in whom you trusted. In whom? In the Son, the Beloved, you trusted. When did you do it? After you heard the word of truth. You didn't just hear religion, you heard the word of truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth will set you free. The truth about God, the truth about us, the truth about sin, the truth about the cross, the truth about the blood, the truth about Christ. You heard the truth. Listen. The gospel of your salvation. Paul said there's just one gospel. Just one. If anybody preaches any other gospel, he said, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven. Let him be accursed. You heard the truth. You trusted after you heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation. You heard it. How'd you hear it? The gospel came to you not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. That's right. And listen, and then you were sealed. Now listen to me. Any of you, I'm from the country. I still have a garden. I raise beans. My wife and I put up beans. We can them. We string beans and can them because they taste so good in the wintertime. And she got that little canner, holds 7 quarts. I help her string them, and I can't can them. She does that. She puts them in the canner and turns the lid on, puts the water on. You ladies know how to do that. It gets hot, and the steam comes out, and we get over and sit down, and then she's after a while, she'll take the lid off and she'll start listening for something. You know what she's listening for? One at a time. What's it doing? They're sealing. Sealing. She said, all 7. They won't spoil. Never spoil. In whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believe, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Don't argue with me about once saved, always saved. It all depends on who saved you. If you saved yourself, you're a goner. If your mama saved you, you're a goner too. If your preacher saved you, you ain't got a chance. If God saved you, you're sealed. If you heard Him speak through His word, by His power, I see you in glory. That's right. Who saved you? What the Lord does is forever. He makes no mistakes. And that Holy Spirit, verse 14, is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's an earnest? You ever bought a piece of property and paid $500 down, called it what? Earnest money. It's yours. It's yours. He can't sell that. So he gives you back your money. You set a certain date. Earnest money. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's our earnest, our token, our pledge till the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The Father chose us and redeemed us to the praise of His glory. Christ died for us and set us free to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit calls us to the praise of His glory. And I want Him to have it all, don't you? All of it. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your love. Everlasting, infinite love. I've loved You with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn You. Thank You for Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Thank You for the blessed hope we have in Him. Thank You for the promise of His return. Thank You, Lord, for the blessed inheritance reserved for all of us in Him. Thank You for this fellowship together. Thank You for these who stand for the truth of Thy blessed word and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us Your presence during these days and the power of Your Spirit for the glory of Your dear Son. In His name I pray. Amen.